This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be discussing Victor Wembanyama recording 200 blocks in his rookie season, Blake Wesley carving out a role for himself, and the Spurs' lottery odds. Let's jump right into this episode. So it has been quite a while since I recorded a Spurs cast, about 10 days since the last Spurs cast. So regarding the team, you know, they beat Golden State without Wemby and Vassell, but then they've lost their last three games. They're currently on a three-game losing streak as I am recording this episode on a Saturday evening, Mountain Time, right after they lost to the Denver Nuggets in Austin. So what I want to do here today is focus on Wemby's blocks, because he did get up to 200 blocks in that game against Denver by recording three blocks in that game, which gets his total up to 200. And I'll just kind of talk about some numbers there with Wemby, where he's at. I'll be discussing Blake Wesley, how he's done a good job this season of carving a role for himself, especially since January when he really started to get some real minutes. And then also where the Spurs' lottery odds are to finish in the bottom three to have a chance of getting the number one overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. And also where their second pick might be via the Toronto Raptors, whether or not the Raptors might allow that pick to go to San Antonio, depending on how they finish out the season. So let's first begin with Wemby's rookie block party. So, like I said, against Denver, Wemby recorded three blocks, and in that, he got himself up to 200 blocks total in just 59 games played. So he's currently averaging 3.4 blocks per game. He, according to the NBA's history site or tweets, they said that Wemby's the first rookie since Tim Duncan in the 1997-1998 season to be the first rookie to record at least 200 blocks in a season. And Timmy finished with 206 total blocks in 82 games of that season. So Wemby's definitely, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to probably break that record of 206 blocks as a rookie. He's going to probably get more than that. Wemby currently leads the league in both blocks per game at 3.4 and total blocks at 200. And let's just put it to some context where he's at compared to other NBA players. So regarding his 3.4 blocks per game, he's almost a full block ahead of second place Walker Kessler and Brook Lopez, who are each at 2.6 blocks per game. So again, Wemby's almost a full block ahead of them in per game blocks. And then when we look at total blocks, where he's at 200 total, he's almost 40 blocks ahead of second place, which is Brook Lopez, who has 164 as of Saturday evening Mountain Time. So again, he's almost 40 blocks totally ahead of the second place in the league. And then in terms of blocks per game, he's about almost a full block per game ahead of whoever's second there. Wemby's season high this year in blocks was 10 that he recorded against the Toronto Raptors back in February. So that's just noting one of his games where he recorded 10 blocks. And then just looking at games where he's averaged five or more, or he's accomplished five or more blocks in a single game, he's recorded five or more blocks in 18 of his 59 games played. That's basically 31% chance that Wemby's going to get five or more blocks in a single game currently, based on how he's doing this season. And one key thing that the Spurs did lineup-wise to help him, you know, get some of these numbers is when they made him become the five. Ever since he became the five, he's recorded five or more blocks in 16 of those 18 games with his five or more blocks. So 16 times that's happened since he went to the five in about, I'd say, about mid-December when the Spurs made that move to make him the full-time starting center. So we do see that he has a chance of recording more blocks, especially with him being the sole rim protector down there in the paint for San Antonio. The Spurs is a team currently ranked third in blocks this season at 6.3 per game. And of course, when you take away Wemby's 3.4 from the team, well, then that means that the team overall is only averaging 2.9 blocks as a team without Wemby's numbers in there. But he has definitely vaulted them up to the top five in blocks per game. You know, almost as Wemby himself at 3.4 blocks almost records as much as an NBA team, with the Miami Heat being at 3.5 blocks per game as a team, who are 30th. So again, Wemby's just 0.1 away from having as many blocks as the Heat as a team do. When we look at some of the stats from cleaning the glass, he's in the, of course, I mean, this isn't too surprising, he's in the 100th percentile amongst bigs in block percentage at 5.8% of the team's blocks. And one thing that you want to give Wemby credit to, especially that he's only in his rookie season, he's only 20 years old right now, and he started as a 19-year-old, is that he doesn't get in foul trouble much. Now, I know in that game against Denver, he did have, I think it was like four or five fouls, but this doesn't often happen to him. He's currently in the 82nd percentile in foul percentage amongst bigs. So again, he's in a very good he does a very good job of not getting himself into foul trouble with just a 2.9% foul percentage. And then of course we know that when Wemby is on the floor, the Spurs' defense is a totally different defensive ball club. When he's on the floor, they allow 11 points per 100 points per possession fewer points per 100 possessions fewer against the opponent, which is in the 98th percentile according to Cleaning the Glass for a big. So we see that when he's on the floor, that's a totally different defense compared to when he's off the floor. And then just other stats that paint just the way he deters shots at the rim are opponents take 2% of their shots less at the rim when Wemby's on the floor, 80th percentile for a big. 1.9% fewer shots from that floater range when Wemby's out there on the floor, according to Cleaning the Glass, 83rd percentile for a big. And then also their accuracy does a little bit worse when Wemby's out there on the floor contesting the shots for the other teams. So teams shoot 3.4% worse at the rim when Wemby's there on the floor, 84th percentile for a big. And then also they shoot 3% worse from floater range when Wemby's on the floor, which is 78th percentile from big. So of course the stats back up what we see in the eye test is that teams, definitely struggle more when Wemby is out there on the floor protecting the paint. And there's not a perfect stat for this, but one metric that I found that kind of paints a little bit of the picture of how many times do teams not want to shoot when Wemby's near the rim? Because that's probably one of the things that we don't have numbers on right now. There's not really a stat for that is, how often do teams, defer from going at the rim against Wemby compared to, when they pass out compared to when other bigs on the floor. And I think the closest thing we can see here is the contested shots per game or per 36 minutes. So the NBA does provide contested shots for each player out there on the floor after each game. And one thing that's always stuck out to me is how the other Spurs bigs, their contested shots are always higher than Wemby's, yet Wemby's playing more minutes than those players. So I think that's kind of the first stat that kind of paints that initial picture of, wow, teams are scared to go at Wemby at this junction of the game or this part of the game compared to maybe Zach Collins or Dominic Barlow or even when he was healthy, Charles Bassey. And so here's what the stats say again, per 36 minutes. Zach Collins leads the Spurs with 14.5 shot contests per game, contested shots per game per 36 minutes. Dominic Barlow is second at 13.7 contested shots per 36 minutes. And then Wemby's third at 10.8. So almost like basically saying, teams are almost taking like three or four more shots contested against Zach and Dominic compared to Wemby. And so again, we know that Wemby's out there on the floor more often. So again, this kind of paints, I think this is one of the first stats that I see that kind of paints that picture of how teams, don't want to shoot when he's near those players. They definitely try to move the ball or try to get a shot up quicker when Wemby's not by those players. And so we kind of see that with compared to how teams do put up more shots against Dominic, contested shots against Dominic or against Zach Collins. So again, I think that's one of the rare stats there that kind of paints a little bit of that picture of how teams are kind of hesitant to shoot when Wemby is near them. And then lastly, one of the things that I personally do after each game is I look at the box score. I go down and check the kind of blocks that Wemby had and against the players. And so here's the types of blocks. He's not just a player who only blocks, near the rim. He also gets some two-point jumpers, some three-point shots, as we've seen this season. So 92% of his blocks come inside the paint against dunks, floaters, layups, hook shots, all those kind of shots. He even had one against Nikola Jokic on Friday in Austin. 5% of his blocks are on two-point jump shots. And we saw that happen against Peyton Watson in that game against Denver where Wemby actually blocked some two-point shots. And that was one of his first blocks I remember recording was his first initial block in the NBA was against Kyrie Irving. And it was a mid-range shot from Kyrie and Wemby went up there and blocked it. And so 5% of the time his blocks are on two-point jumpers. And then lastly, 4% of the time his blocks do come off three-point shots from the opponent. So again, we know that he has that ability to block shots there. So again, that was just kind of something I wanted to do is now that Wemby hit the 200 block mark for his rookie season, I wanted to kind of see where does he compare to other bigs and other players in the league and where, even compared to other teams in the league. And that kind of shows where he's at, just using more so a numbers database point. All right. So now for my next question, it was basically, obviously if you've been watching the Spurs games, you know that Blake Wesley has been part of he's had a consistent role now on the team for this most of the season. And so I really wanted to see, what has he been doing on both ends of the floor to help himself get minutes out there on the floor and what are kind of some of the numbers say, and also what are my observations by the eye test say? So when you look at his games played and his minutes per game, his minutes really increased starting in early, in late December, but then they really got more consistent from January through through today, basically through March. And the reason for that is several factors. One, we know that, you know, at first the Spurs started experimenting with Jeremy Sohan at point guard for, you know, from the beginning of the season to about early December. And then that meant Trey Jones was the backup point guard, which meant Trey got all the backup minutes. So then the Spurs, you know, went away from that experiment after like 20 or something games. And Trey becomes a starting point guard, and that, and then the team gave a chance to Malachi Branham to get some minutes. Branham didn't do too well in that role, and then I think he got hurt, and so Blake eventually got that chance from the coaching staff. And then Blake's just been very energetic, and he really earned that role for himself of being a good backup point guard. And so that has been his role, where he's now become the backup point guard, you know, coming in, subbing in for Trey Jones. And then Malachi Branham got his role, and he's starting to play better once Doug McDermott got traded. So we know that he's got those backup 2 minutes. So let's just kind of dig into some of the numbers and also what the eye test says regarding Blake's play this season. Let's first focus on offense. So from January through today, March 16th, he's averaging 15.7 minutes per night. So again, he's gotten some decent minutes there. It's about 16 minutes a game. He doesn't score or add a lot there. I mean, that's still a part of his game that's still being worked on. But I think his decision making has just gotten better on that end of the floor. So he's averaging about 5 points per game since January in 35 games. He's shooting 53% from the floor, 16% from three, which he doesn't take many threes, just 0.9 per 3-point attempts. And he's shooting 70% from the free throw line, about 1.3 free throw attempts. Also, you can see his ball movement here, three assists to just 0.9 turnovers per game. We do know that if you watch Blake's shot profile, 71% of his shots do come in the paint. So again, he's mainly a player. If he's going to shoot the ball, he's going to do it attacking inside. One thing that we've noticed is how much he has tried to dunk the ball, you know, instead of just going for any kind of layups or making it difficult, he's just going to go down there and try to dunk it. And we do see this 51% of his paint shots are from that dunk layup range. And he's scoring over a point per shot there. And then one thing he's done good when he has to take those shots is his floater has been, you know, pretty good this season. He's actually made 21 of 30 floaters this season, which is 70% accuracy for 1.40 points per shot. So again, he doesn't go to the floater too often, but when he does do it, it has been an accurate shot for him. And then, like I mentioned, he doesn't take many jumpers from either mid-range or the three-point line. We know that's not part of his game just yet. So that'll be something that he continues to try to develop going forward.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago. Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When we look at his drives, what he does when he drives the ball, he mainly passes to his teammates. That's one thing he's doing. And then also he stands out in those metrics in assist rate. So he's collecting assists there and also getting fouled. He has been getting fouled a bit there on that part. Some of the observations I noticed on offense just watching him, I think he has better decision-making right now. He's just really quick to not hold on to the ball, just either attack or pass to the next player. So again, he's not really taking too much of the offense and really just trying to get them in their set and go. So I think that his decision-making has gotten a little bit better on offense. Now, when we look at defense, this is the area where Blake's really earned minutes. And, you know, Coach Pop has said this, you know, basically, you know, this is one of the areas that the team really needs him and the kind of fire, the energy that he brings on that end of the floor. So we look at his defense again, 15.7 minutes from January on per game, 1.5 rebounds, 0.5 steals, and 0.2 blocks. So again, those don't really stick out too much to you, but we want to dig into some of the per 36 minutes for Blake here. Compared to his teammates, where he really stands out is in deflections, 2.5 deflections per 36 minutes. You see him getting trying to disrupt passing lanes, really just being on the on-ball player that he's guarding for most of the possession for on defense. And also steals, 1.3 steals per 36 minutes is also where he sticks out compared to his teammates. In 21 ISO possessions, according to Synergy, he's holding opponents to 0.91 points per possession. So again, on the few times that offensive players do try to isolate him and go at him, he's holding them under a point per possession there defensively. Just some of the things that I've noted, just again from the eye test, is that he's really good about just making, you know, hassling and just making, being very disruptive on ball handlers, guarding them full court. It really disrupts their offense, and they can't as easily get into their sets. They really those ball handlers have to work against Blake, either call for an extra player to kind of give them a screen to get rid of him, to move him off of them, or they just pass out to another player and let that player bring up the ball. And that was something that I think it was Sean Elliott or TJ Ford said against the Nuggets, was that you can tell that when Blake's in the game, the offense for Denver had to really like speed up, or they just couldn't get comfortable in getting into their sets because Blake's putting that much pressure on their ball handlers, when normally that's just an easy thing to do, bring the ball up the floor. No, Blake's there. He's, you know, he's really hounding you. He's really on those players and really being disruptive. And so that does have an effect in terms of the team, you know, getting into their sets and the shot clock gets them, you know, a little bit reduced for those teams. So I think, again, that's one of those factors that maybe doesn't get painted on the box score that Blake does bring there to the game. And then just looking at, you know, one of the things the NBA does provide to us is speed metrics. And so that was one thing I was kind of curious of, like, you know, I by the eye test, we know that he's super fast out there on the court. And I was like, how fast is he? You know, what do the numbers say? Well, he's very fast. So Blake Wesley, according to their average speed metric, the NBA, Blake Wesley, on an average speed, he's at 4.7 miles per hour, which is first on the Spurs. So again, in terms of the metrics that get measured here, he's the fastest player on the Spurs. When we look at the whole league in that metric, he's actually fifth in the league in that metric amongst players who have played 30 or more games. So again, he's the fifth fastest player, average speed, according to the NBA's metrics. And then defensively on the Spurs, he's averaging 4.4 miles per hour on defense, which shows that he's putting way more hustle and energy into the defensive end of the floor. And that is also first amongst Spurs players. So again, Blake has definitely carved out a role for himself this season with just the way he's been playing, just the fact that he's defense first. And that's something that Pop's always going to want. And then just the fact that, yes, we know he doesn't shoot much. You know, his shooting is still coming along, but he's able to at least get minutes out there, and he's being quicker in his decision making. What will be interesting, though, is, you know, what do the Spurs do with this offseason if they end up going and either trying to trade for a point guard, you know, and then Trey Jones goes back to the bench? Well, then Blake's going to be competing with Trey Jones for a role, or you know, if they draft a point guard, etc. That's also something to watch, is, you know, in terms of next season going forward, how well does Blake fit on this team, and can he continue to carve out a role for himself based on his play this past season? So again, we'll kind of see what's going on here, but again, this kind of explains why Blake has done a great job this season of earning a role for himself. Okay, now for the final topic, I had two questions I want to answer here. It was, you know, what are the Spurs' odds of finishing with the bottom three record? And also, what about the Toronto pick? What are their odds of getting that pick as well? So, you know, the reason why we're addressing this now is because we know that the season is coming to an end here soon in a few weeks. The Spurs are down to their last 15 games after Friday in Denver was completed. So I do want to note that I'm recording this because some of these records might not be the same as after this time of recording. So I am recording this episode at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So some of these teams I'm going to mention are playing tonight. So, you know, again, their record may not match when you listen to this episode. So in terms of, you know, where you want to be to get the have the best chance to get the number one pick, like the Spurs did last year with Wemby, is you want to be one of the bottom three teams. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're the worst team, whether you're the second worst team or third. You just want to be in those bottom three teams. And the reason for that is that, according to Tankathon, you do have a 14% chance of landing number one. So right now, the Spurs are in position to be there. Right now, it's the Wizards who have the worst record at 11-55. The Pistons are 12-54. With the second worst record, and then the Spurs are right there with the third worst record at 14-53. Then in fourth, or the fourth worst record, is the Charlotte Hornets, who are at 17-50, which means they're three wins ahead of the Spurs there. And once you get to fourth, you have a 12.5% chance of getting the number one pick in the lottery. So again, that's the reason why being in the bottom three gives you the best odds, is that it goes down to 12.5% once you're in the bottom, once you get to fourth. And then, of course, once you get to the fifth worst record, which is the Portland Trailblazers, they are 19-47. That reduces down to 10.5% chance of getting the number one pick. So again, if you want to try to get the number one pick, the best thing to do is try to end up with one of the three worst records, which right now the Spurs are doing that. So when I looked at some different metrics, I wanted to kind of see, you know, what are the Spurs' chances of holding on to one of these bottom three spots? And then, you know, how does that project? So we're going to look at a few different things here. So first, I just looked at their expected wins, just each team based on where their current record is. The Wizards should finish with 14 wins, which would be last in the league. The Pistons should finish with 15 wins, which would also be second worst. And then the Spurs should be at 17 wins, third worst record. And then the Hornets should finish with 21 wins. So again, right now, if all these teams just finish out the season based on where they're supposed to go according to their current record, then the Spurs should be fine getting that bottom three pick or bottom three worst record. When you look at some other different models, so ESPN has a projection model for team wins, there it gets a little bit more interesting. So according to ESPN's model, the Wizards should finish with 16 wins, so for the worst record. The Pistons should finish with 16 wins also, so again, second worst record. Then the Spurs should finish with 19 wins, third worst record. However, the Hornets should finish with 19.5 wins. So that's where it gets tricky, is that the Spurs and Hornets could be, you know, right there next to each other in terms of, you know, who gets the third or fourth worst record, which does impact, you know, your percentage of odds in the lottery. And then the Blazers are you know, shouldn't be competing with them. So I was looking at, you know, why is that the case? Why are the Hornets, you know, in this model so close to the Spurs in terms of wins? The reason for that is the strength of schedule for all these teams. So the Wizards have a pretty easy schedule. They actually have the third easiest schedule in the league to end the year. The Pistons have the fifth most difficult schedule. So again, Detroit should bottom out here. The Spurs, kind of like, as I mentioned in a previous episode, the Spurs have the 16th most difficult schedule, which again, is kind of like league average. It's not that tough. I mean, it is tough for the Spurs, but you know, in terms of, they're going to play some opponents that they should be able to beat. They play like Memphis twice still. They play the Pistons. So their schedule is not as difficult as Detroit's, but look at the Hornets' schedule. According to Positive Residual, the Hornets have the second most difficult schedule left in the league. And so that's why, yes, right now the Hornets have three more wins than the Spurs, but again, in terms of schedule strength, the Hornets do have a very difficult schedule here to finish the year. And that's why it could get interesting if the Spurs start picking up some wins here and the Hornets, you know, go on a big losing streak or aren't able to win as many games, that maybe we do see that 19 wins coming down to the wire here for each of those teams, which could impact going from third to fourth for the Spurs, or for the Hornets going from fourth to third in terms of worst record, which does impact lottery odds there. So again, that was very interesting to see. I also want to note that the Blazers have the third most difficult schedule left in the league, according to Positive Residual. So again, that'll be something to watch, is just the fact that the Hornets do have a harder schedule to finish out the year. And lastly, we do know that the Spurs have a chance to get the Raptors' first round pick as well this coming season, or this coming draft. The way they need to do that is that pick is protected for Toronto 1-6. So if in the lottery, the Raptors end up with 1-6, they get to keep their own pick. If it's 7-30, well, then the Spurs get to have that pick. So again, for the Spurs, they're hoping that that ends up being 7-30. For the Raptors, where they're currently at, they're kind of like in a race with Memphis of trying to get to the sixth worst record, and then Memphis is currently there with them at the sixth worst record. So right now, Toronto is 23-44 as of Saturday evening. That they are tied with Memphis for the sixth worst record. So again, them and Memphis are kind of right there. According to the ESPN projection I was mentioning earlier, the Raptors should win 27.3 games this season, which should finish them at seventh with the seventh worst record. So again, that pick would likely go to the Spurs. And then Memphis should finish with 27.1 wins, which should be sixth worst record. So again, if that happens, and again the Grizzlies get sixth in the lottery, well then the Spurs get to keep the Raptors pick. But if the Raptors sneak up and get sixth, then that pick goes to that pick stays with Toronto. In terms of who has a tougher schedule, the Raptors have the 12th toughest schedule left in the league, and the Grizzlies have the 10th toughest schedule left in the league. One thing we do want to know about Toronto, though, is that they may be without their all-star Scotty Barnes for either a few more weeks of the season or just the end of the season. So we do know that Barnes suffered a fractured left hand early in March when the month had started, and so he hasn't played in, I think, the last seven games, and they haven't really put on a timeline of when he's going to return. So the Raptors, in terms of losing games, that favors them because they're missing their best player for them, unfortunately, that Barnes did suffer that hand injury. So again, that's kind of just where everything lies with 15 games left in the season for the Spurs, is that they're going to, right now, yes, it looks like they're comfortable in terms of, having a worse record than Charlotte, but just watch, because Charlotte's schedule does get a little bit more difficult, and the Spurs' schedule is still difficult, but they do have some more winnable games than Charlotte coming up here from now until the end of the season. And then also regarding the Raptors pick, that's also something to watch between that race between Toronto and Memphis is something to keep an eye on. All right, so thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube or your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe, have a great day.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.